Oh, what is up, great friends? Alex Padilla with you guys here today. Scott will be jumping in here early from the show. As you guys know, he went to the USC Pro Day today. It just so happened that it aligned with the exact same time that we record. But he will check in the very first segment from USC for Caleb Williams' Pro Day. He was there with his boy, Alex Van Pelt. So we will get the full rundown here to start the show. But as we always do, we got to start this podcast audio version thanking our wonderful sponsors. And we'll start with 7 Mile Casino, just minutes away from downtown San Diego. 7 Mile Casino with all of your favorite table games. And I saw this morning a lot of people were there for the Padres game at 3 in the morning. Perfect place to watch a game anytime throughout the day or night. It's a smoke-free environment. It's right off the 5 freeway. It is a great, great spot. So go check them out. 7 Mile Casino. 7milecasino.com. Shout out to Tory Holistics, who's now open in Oxnard, where I'm from. If you're up in the Ventura County area, Oxnard Holistics is now open in Oxnard Shores, and our promo code BETTERBUD also works there. So what does that mean? You spend a minimum of $75, you'll get 20% off your purchase when you use the promo code BETTERBUD online or in store at Tory Holistics, California Holistics, and Oxnard Holistics. So shout out to Tory. And go check them out if you're in the Ventura County area. I drove by. My mom lives very close to the new location. It is wonderful. It's in a great part of the city. That's just not where I grew up, but it's beautiful in Oxnard Holistics. So go check them out. But here in San Diego, Torrey in California, with you guys, promo code better. But it is Price Picks. PricePicks.com/greatfriends. I'm going to stop saying now. PricePicks.com/greatfriends. You can scan that QR code and they will match your first deposit up to $100 if you have yet to do so. And if you have yet to do so, what are you waiting for? Play with us. Play with the Price Picks. Baseball season is here. They got tons of offers on baseball, basketball, darts, gaming, esports. It don't matter. Price Picks has got offers more or less. It's very simple. They match your first deposit up to $100 when you use the promo code GREATFRIENDS or scan the QR code. If you're watching, go to PricePicks.com/greatfriends. Shout out to Blenders. That's right, Blenders. Promo code Kaplan, you get 20% off your purchase. I bought 4 pair, 2 blue lights, 2 sunglasses on top of the Aztec sunglasses I already had, on top of the 2 that we originally got from Chase Fisher. So Blenders is incredible. And if you're in front of a computer all day, I don't think we talk about this very often, which a lot of us are, like, these really do help your eyes. Like, I'm in front of this computer for 8 to 10 hours a day, and my eyes they be bugging. And with these, they don't. So, and I promise you, they work. This box looks like this. Where's the blue light box I got? They're called Blue Lights from Blenders. They got tons of styles. I wore the black ones yesterday. I'm rocking these today. So, Blenders, use the promo code Kaplan. You'll get 20% off your purchase. All sunglasses, prescription. They have prescription, blue light, snowboard goggles. They got everything. They got wraparound sunglasses for if you're like biking, running. Blenders is awesome. Go check them out. One final one here before we get started, and that's Life Brew. L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com. Another promo code for you. KLIFE20. You get 20% off your purchase at Life Brew. They now are making coffee, our friends at Mushroom Life. Brett is a wild man. That coffee is really good. Like, I promise you guys, it's really good, and it's instant, so it's easy to make. Go check them out. Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com. I'm rewatching the Padres game, and this is where they blow themselves up in the top of the 8th inning. My goodness. Lifebrew.com, KLIFE20, to get 20% off your purchase. Okay, let's go check in with Scott. Let's get Browner over here. Let's roll. Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to Kaplan and Crew with just a crew today, kind of. Scott's supposed to check in. He's at USC's. Well, he's at Caleb Williams' pro day. Let's be real. He's not there for USC. Actually, he's jumping in right now. Let's start the show off different than we normally do. Scott, what's cracking, bro?
I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to figure out how to do this on my phone. I've never done this before. How's this look?
There you go. This looks pretty fantastic. Good? Those blenders look amazing.
Peace. You guys tell me. I don't know if there's a way for me to flip my camera or not.
You're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
perfect like that. You're perfect.
Here's the deal. So yeah. Yes, at USC, let me see over my shoulder here. They've, mm-hmm. they've really done like an amazing job. There's a lot of people here.
Is it raining?
It's not, but it is kind of foggy and like a little bit overcast. So I'll tell you, I see Norv Turner, former Charger coach, is here.
Uh-huh.
With who? I kind of feel like he's sort of on his own. He's actually, you know what? He's been hanging with these guys from the Raiders. So I don't know, maybe if he's got some kind of Raider connection going here.
Okay.
You know, Norv is a part of Sports Injury Central. Alex, you probably know that.
Yeah.
So I've been hanging with my boy AVP, obviously, talking a lot to uh-huh. him.
How many people did they take?
How many people did the Patriots bring here?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yesterday, I picked Alex up, and their general manager is a guy named Elliot Wolf. And I don't think he's got the title of general manager, but I think he's getting the title of general manager. I'm not really positive about
that. Breaking news.
Oh, breaking news. Journalism with a capital J.
I don't know if I'd call it breaking news, and I don't even know if I'm right. But anyway, I picked those guys up yesterday, got them settled in at their hotel, and then had to cruise into downtown LA. It took forever, of course, because you know it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And their tight end, yeah, and their the quarterback coach is a kid named T.C. McCartney, and he's an amazing, interesting story. His grandfather was the football coach at Colorado. This is back in the Eric Bieniemy days, and his mom was you can Google this stuff, Alex. It's pretty quick and easy. His mom was dating the quarterback who was from, I want to say, Oceanside or Vista. He was from North County, San Diego. I think his name was Sal Anisi. You'd have to Google it. But Sal, in like his sophomore junior year at Colorado, after, you know, she was pregnant, the mom, Sal died of cancer. It was a crazy story back when I was playing college football. And so, because they were like national champions, right?
Yeah, you talked about
this
earlier.
Yeah. So I was with these three guys yesterday, and then, so as far as here, like Matt Leinart is here, Mark Sanchez is here, like all the USC quarterback types are here. Mm-hmm. I've been hanging out with a guy named Yogi Roth. You guys know who Yogi Roth is?
I do.
I do not.
Yogi Roth is a college football analyst from the Pac-12 network, which is, you know, pretty much going away as the Pac-12 is going away. I guess their last assignment is going to be all the spring football games. But Yogi Roth is he's a Pitt guy. And then he kind of got into college football through USC and Pete Carroll. And he's got a lot to do with the Elite 11. You know, I was just asking him about Julian Sain, the quarterback from Carlsbad. And he was telling me that he's killing it at Ohio State and that they love him. So anyway, Yogi would be great on our show, by the way. He's got so much to talk about with college football, NIL, knows the Pac-12, and now knows the Big Ten like the back of his hand. So he'd be great with us.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, dude, I got to ask you a question because I see there's no action yet, but I'm assuming that starts here shortly.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. I got your tweet.
Yep.
I got your tweet.
Mm-hmm.
We forgot you were in L.A.
Yeah.
So you woke up,
mm-hmm.
and then tell me what happened.
So I woke up at 2:58 a.m. to turn on the game. And so there was like four ESPN channels in the hotel. There is like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN maybe News, and ESPNU. All three. And I was watching SportsCenter at like 2:58 a.m. And then top of the hour came 3 a.m. and SportsCenter was starting all over again. I'm like, well, what are they doing here? So then I turned to the next channel and the next channel, and the next channel. And like ESPN was starting their East Coast morning show, which is called Unnecessary Roughness, I think. It's Evan Cohen and Chris Canty. And so I was flipping around and I come back to the regular ESPN where they say on the guide, it's Dodgers Padres. Mm-hmm. And the screen is completely black. And I'm like, what the hell?
So it literally blacked out?
Yeah, so there was a black screen. They didn't even have like alternative programming. But here's the funny part: is at about 3:45. I know I kind of went back to sleep because I was like, I was following on Gamecast because even my Cox Contour app wouldn't allow me to use and even ESPN
geo blocks you.
Yeah, so even and even ESPN ESPN's app didn't have a watch feature. So I went back to sleep. I woke up at like 5:30. I stand up out of the bed to go to the bathroom. And dude, all of a sudden the game comes on. What? On ESPN. So I must have left the TV on, you know, and it was the top of the ninth inning and the Dodgers had the bases loaded. And so I started to think to myself is, you know, some TVs have a sensor where they turn black if there's no movement in front of them. I can't imagine that that's what happened. I'm thinking that it's probably what you said, Alex, on Twitter, which is that the game was probably blacked out in LA and you probably had to use the local feed to get the game. Was the game on ESPN in San Diego?
Yeah.
Well, then why would the game not have been on in my hotel
because
room?
The Dodgers have a television network. The Padres don't. And they haven't announced where they're going to air their games yet until next week. Because I guess we all got to wait. We got to wait on pins and needles to figure out how the hell we're going to watch this thing this year.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
They can't give us a heads up at all. Like to make – supposedly Eric Grubner's like, yeah, you'll find out next week, maybe wow. Wednesday night at midnight.
They'll probably find out next weekend.
Yeah, right. They probably don't know. I'm turning around. I'm seeing my boy Alex is right here. He's got a black backpack on. I don't know if you guys can see him or not. And he's standing there talking to the Norvalist one, Norv Turner, talking to Norv, like right up in here, like right in this area.
So can you give us like a little bit of insight, dude? Like, are they there just to do their due diligence, or do they actually think the Bears won't take Caleb Williams?
No, they're here to do their due diligence. And I think, you know, first of all, so the workout on the field that had all the USC receivers and linemen and whatever, that's just wrapping up right now. And they did all the 40-yard dashes and they did the shuttle.
Is Jerry Rice there?
I haven't seen Jerry Rice, but see, now that's one of the reasons why a guy like Alex is here. Because chances are the Patriots are not getting Caleb Williams and they're looking at, you know, Jake May and Jaden Daniels. But they are looking at two wide receivers here at SC. You got Jerry Rice's kid, and I don't remember the other kid's name, but there are two wide receivers that are like top level talents. Yeah. I don't know if they're first round picks, but they're NFL players.
They're and draftable.
So they're here, and that's why they're here. I don't know if you guys saw a picture I put up on Instagram with me, Alex, and my boy Lewis Riddick.
When's Lou going to come back on the show?
Sweet Lou. Listen, you know, I'd be happy to have him on anytime. You know, he was actually telling me, it's a great story. You know, Lewis Riddick, when you see him on ESPN, always very well-dressed, right? Like a lot of people really love his fashion, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he sent me a text about, I don't know, maybe a week and a half ago. And he said, hey, I've got this clothing line coming out in a partnership with Pitt, and I need your jacket size, your waist, your what? He's like, I'm going to send you a ton of clothes because they created this clothing line with Lou and the University of Pittsburgh, and he's like, dude, I want you to wear it, tell me what you think of it, and then I want you to wear it on the air, show it off. So I'm like, okay, you got
okay.
it. Man. Be my pleasure. Be
nice.
My pleasure.
Nice.
So. Yeah,
did your boy AVP drop some LBs, dude?
Oh, dude, he's in fact, he told me, I think he's dropped like 60, 70 pounds.
Dude, he looks great.
He looks fantastic. I told him yesterday, I go, dude.
Ozempic.
Yeah, I said, dude, you actually look athletic again. And he does. He went from probably, I'm going to say like maybe 280 pounds, maybe 300 pounds, to now he's like, you know, 225, 230. And he's still a big dude. But, you know, you're 6'2", and in that size, you can live with that. But, man, he was big. He was heavy. But, man, he looks great. His face looks great. His body looks great. And, Alex, he did it the same way you did it. And
nice.
And he looks terrific, yeah.
Quick question, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why won't they let you on the other side of that SD thing?
I was thinking the same thing.
It's so funny you say that. It's so funny. Dude, it's so funny you say that. Let me tell you something. It's so funny you say that because, listen, let me show you this. So I walk in here today, and I'm thinking – first of all, I'm just thinking that everybody's going to be on the field, like no big deal. But, you know, look, they've turned it into a big, big production. And there's like a whole line here of fencing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it goes all the way up to there. And then I've been hanging out with Eric Williams. I've been hanging out with Sam Farmer from the LA Times, the longtime NFL writer. I called Steve Weiss from the NFL Network. I called him Sam Weiss, of course.
Whoops. Whoopsies.
And I think I would say that like everybody now is kind of waiting for Caleb Williams to come out here. I know it bothers me also, Browner. I got my boy Sedano down here. JB Long.
On the other side?
No, he's on the media side.
See, come on, dude. This ain't the NBA, wow, man. He ain't got no pool.
Right. Nobody knows him here.
This guy hasn't been to a USC game his whole life, dude.
Right, right. You know.
Okay.
But it is. I did notice that too when you posted the picture of the Pitt guys.
Yeah,
in here.
I'm on.
I was like,
I'm
wait,
on,
hold on. What's going on here, LA Cap?
Believe me, I don't like it. It doesn't feel good.
How come you didn't David Dobrik this thing and like just make your way over?
Just because I just didn't feel like even dealing with it. You know what I mean? Honestly, like, what's the difference? What is it?
I just feel
difference?
Like you should be running some drills today or something.
I know. Well, I thought about it.
Yeah. Take out your badge.
Yeah. Well, I should have taken out my badge. I wasn't. Right. Believe it or not, Brian, I'm actually not really carrying it right now. But I should be carrying my badge.
He saves
right
it for downtown LA. Only.
Right. Right. Only when there's police lines. You know.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
Hey, Figaro is not too far. You'd be useful over there.
Let me walk around here a second and see what is going on.
Oh,
I see
Keenan Allen is there with Ryan.
Oh,
Cole.
Yeah. Keenan Allen is here. Yeah, he's wearing some Bears gear, you know? And so, yeah,
Browner,
he's a lot.
Does that excite you? Does this excite you, seeing Keenan in Bears gear?
No.
Okay.
No? I want to see him catching balls. Well, who's with Ryan Poles?
Everybody
said Keenan Allen.
Like, no, literally, I seen Ryan. Like your whole team is there, dude.
So here's now these are the dudes I've been hanging with: Yogi Roth, my boy Sedano right over here. I should put you on with Sedano. Let him, Browner. You could school him on some NBA. You know,
looking short.
We could all watch him go nuts, lose his mind when you start telling him that you know more about the NBA than he does.
Facts, hands down.
You know,
but have you ever been in protocol though, Browner?
No. I'm not pretending like that.
No.
I've never been in protocol.
Pretending like that. Scott, did you watch any of this Padres-Dodgers game there or just the top of the ninth?
I only watched top of the ninth. But what I did see, though, when I woke up and I read the story about Jake Cronenworth's glove, I'm like, wait a second, what? So I go ahead and I look at the video, and I think it was Joe Davis on the Dodger broadcast who said, I've never seen that. And you know that like phrase where it's like, hey, in a baseball game, you're always bound to see something you've never seen before.
Yeah.
In your lifetime, at any level of baseball, you've never seen a guy have a ball go through his glove like that, ever.
Yeah. And I can't think of it like that, like where literally the webbing came apart.
Right. I mean, first of all, it didn't look like it was hit like 400 miles an hour.
Correct. You know?
They said it was 88.2 miles per hour.
Wow.
Very catchable.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so somebody on the broadcast, like I said, I think it was the Dodger broadcast, said something like, does that error go against the equipment manager?
Yeah.
Which I thought was a pretty funny line. You know,
that was a bad sign for what's to come. It was a bad sign.
A lot of people are saying the same thing, man.
Yeah, I know. My DMs are filled.
Right. It's not that it happened. It's when it happened. If that would happen in the first inning, then it wouldn't cost them anything. That's funny. Spread that around the world.
Yep.
But no. It happened.
The way it was,
you
like,
to catch that.
It was absolutely the worst timing ever because, look at the situation. You're in the eighth inning, and it's the bottom of the lineup. This is Gavin Lux doing this. This isn't Freddie Freeman doing this. And then as soon as the bottom of the lineup gets through, oh, here comes Mookie Betts. Boom, RBI single. Oh, here comes Shohei Ohtani. Boom, RBI single. Like you can't mess around with the bottom of the Dodgers lineup and put people on base for those two, three dudes.
But you know what? I think who knew that I was going to be able to chime in here from my phone from USC's Pro Day? This gives me a quick opportunity to know. Well, I know, but who knew that the cell service would be this good? This gives me a great idea to just say real quickly. You know, last night on Prize Picks, I took Luka and Ohtani to have more than 5.5 bases and three pointers combined, and Luka went like 2 for 11 from 3-point range. Okay, right. And Ohtani had 2 hits. In fact, I'm not even sure that he had 2 hits. I think he did, but he hit into a fielder's choice. So, but you know, this is the thing about Prize Picks is that I would never know that Luka went 2 for 11 for 3-point range. Never. If it wasn't for playing this game. Go ahead.
I'll do you one better. I had Luka and Jokic for 18.5 more assists. Doncic, Luka, 16 assists. You know
You
know what Jokic went out there and did?
Tell
me. His lowest assist output of the season, 2. So
oh my god,
18.
They got to 18.
They got to 18, He could get one more assist. And I'm watching this fourth quarter on pins and needles. It's a good game, but I'm looking for these assists. And, man, nothing.
Well, Otani stole a base, too, though. Like, so he had three.
Oh, really?
That should count.
Yeah.
Well, right. So, and so that probably gets me to five, which is the number was 5.5. You know, all I needed Luka to do was hit one more three. So I would just encourage everybody, even on remote, even broadcasting from a cell phone from USC's Pro Day, I'm going to encourage everybody to download the Prize Picks app.
I got some stuff for you guys tonight. I like all three of them. I actually love all three of them.
Let me hear what you got.
On the specials tab tonight on Prize Picks, Mookie Betts and James Harden, 4.5, more or less 4.5, total bases, 3 points made.
Mm-hmm.
You got Tatis and Jason Tatum with the same number, 4.5, total bases, 3 points made.
And I think Tatis was 0-for-4, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Or this one this sounds like easy money. Otani and Steph Curry, 6.5 total bases and 3 points made.
Oh my God. I'm gonna take all three of them. If you play all three of them, I wonder what the payout is.
Let's see.
Yeah. I wonder what
if you put $20.
Yeah.
$45.
Oh, so that's are they all that's 2.5 2.25 to 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to put that together with Caitlin Clark.
Oh, wait. It makes no sense to take all three. So if you play two, you get 60.
Oh, okay. So then you're playing 3-1.
Yeah. I don't trust James Harden.
I don't trust James Harden.
He may just not play.
Yeah.
Listen, Tatis last night. I don't trust Tatis. He was so aggressive last night. I'm taking James Harden.
Well, also, you know, Tatis is going to see a pitcher tonight for the Dodgers that he's never seen before, you know, and a guy who nobody has really seen before.
No one's seen before.
Yeah. So Yamamoto is an interesting, you know, part of the equation, that it's not just some, you know, American dude who's going to throw fireballs at you. You know, we have no idea what he is.
I was genuinely surprised, not only from a social media perspective, but from my personal life perspective, how many people were awake at 3 a.m.
Oh, I know, dude. Ooh. I know.
It was a lot of people. And I'm telling you know that Padres-Dodgers group chat I got going on? I think 95% of the dudes were up. I was the one guy that wasn't. Like, everybody was up.
My son is on the East Coast time. So, you know, it was 6 a.m. on the East Coast. He saw my tweet because, remember, you said to me, dude, I want to see a tweet. I want to see a picture that shows that you're up and trying. And so, of course, I sent you that video. And the funny part of the video is that at the end of it, it just goes completely black, you know?
And you went back to sleep.
My son texts me. He goes, are you up trying to watch a Padre game and it's not showing in your hotel? I'm like, that's exactly what's happening. But it was 6 o'clock on the East Coast, which is way before he gets up.
Yeah.
But he was up early because he also wanted to see the Padres.
Dude, I throw my phone on Do Not Disturb. You guys know this. About 9:45, this phone goes on Do Not Disturb. Like, only my mother, my wife can call me on Do Not Disturb just in case, you know, emergency.
Yeah.
And when I woke up and I turned that off and went to regular mode, my phone was on fire, bro. Like, the amount of messages and notifications from Twitter, from social media, like, everybody was watching this freaking thing this morning at 3 a.m, man.
Oh, that's funny. Everybody. Yeah, I know.
All right, man. So tell us the plan. You got 2 minutes here. So tell us the plan today. What you got?
The plan is this. I appreciate you guys covering for me always. I am going to watch Caleb's workout. Then I am going to take my boy Alex to he said to me, he goes, hey, we're here. Let's go to like an authentic Mexican place, you know, because he's got to hit the airport. So somebody had recommended to me a place called like Paco's Tacos Cantina by the airport. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that or not. But
I got one for you right down the street from where you're at.
Okay, what's up?
Walk there.
What's up?
La Barca. I'm trying to remember, on Vermont.
Is that that place that's like an A-frame, like little dirt house?
A-frame dirt house. I don't remember.
No, I mean, like, is it an A-frame building?
No.
But it's called La Barca.
It has like La Barca right on Vermont. Down the street from where you're at.
Okay, bro, let me tell you, that would be way better because then this way I don't have to drive with him down to the airport. I could just go from USC back into downtown LA, like back over to LA Live, and then he could go to the airport. If I have to go to the airport, dude, ugh.
Ugh.
I know.
Yeah, I'm going to text you. I'm going to text you right now. This is a Cousin Nancy. This is a Cousin Nancy special. You know, she went to USC. So,
okay. Well, if this is a Cousin Nancy special, then this is the place for us to go, La Barca. It sounds way better.
All right, bro. All right,
guys.
Go enjoy yourself.
Have a great show.
I'm going to turn on the coverage on TV, so go find the cameras and pop up or something.
All right, man. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll try and do that.
All right, man.
All right. Hey, have a great day, everybody. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to go to commercial break, everybody, and we'll be right back. We're brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com, just minutes away from downtown San Diego. When we come back, both me and Browner have watched this game, even though we weren't up at 3 in the morning. So let's get into it. And then later on today, our boy Christopher Reed will be on the show. Plenty to come. Kaplan and all right, everybody, welcome back to Kaplan and Crew with Grande and Browner for the rest of the show. If you just missed it, Scott checked in from USC. Well, he checked in from Caleb Williams' pro day. There's no chance if Caleb Williams isn't throwing that he's there. So he checked in. So if you missed it, go check it out. Rewind on YouTube. If you're on radio, come check out our show on YouTube or any audio podcast, Spotify, Apple, iHeart, Google, Amazon Music, YouTube Music. We're everywhere. So just search Kaplan and Crew there. Before we get going here, Browner, I just do want to tell everybody and remind everybody I'm wearing them right now. We are brought to you by Blenders. Go to blenderseyewear.com, use the promo code Kaplan at checkout, and you will get 20% off your purchase. That's right, 20% off your purchase. I bought four the other day. I bought four pairs, two blue lights, two sunglasses, some spray, and I used the promo code Kaplan. So that's the cleaning spray. So these are blue lights. They are phenomenal if you're in front of a computer all day. This is what the box looks like. I'm in front of a computer all freaking day. My eyes are bugging. Not anymore because I'm rocking these. So go check them out. BlendersEyewear.com. Use promo code Kaplan to get 20% off. All right, JB. I know we've had some discussions off air. Let's have them on air. The Padres this morning lose the opener. Whether you like it or not, today was opening day. Today was the first day that it all counted, and the Padres lost to the Dodgers 5-2. They had a 2-1 lead in the eighth, and then the wheels fell apart. And JB, I mean, this is the story of the game, right? Glovegate. Who the hell did this? Jake Cronenworth's glove, man. Who did this?
Who set that man up?
And of all the people to set up, we need this man's confidence to be up. We don't need this to be happening to him on the field. We need him to be absolutely ready to go when he's in the box. He did go 0-for-4 with two strikeouts on top of that. So to me, that was when the wheels fell off, obviously. It was an easy double play to end the inning, and it just didn't end that way. Dodgers tied it up, and then after that, you got a ground out, and then Betts drives in a run, Otani drives in a run, game over. Good night. Browner, you didn't wake up, but what'd you think about the official kickoff to the MLB season, whether it be the game or just in general of everything? What'd you think?
I thought the way that it was presented was done well. I thought let's discuss the game. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Cronenworth hitting third when Manny was available. Xander Bogaerts, two hits.
Played well.
Two of the four hits. Played very well. Played a solid second base. I really felt like the way that the lineup was structured, I think this would have been a great time to have Kim as the leadoff hitter. I just didn't think that they put their best, the order. I didn't like the order.
Yeah.
Period. Plain straight. I didn't like the batting order.
Okay.
I wasn't shocked that Tyler Glasnow had a great outing. He's a great pitcher. He's got good stuff. The Dodgers are a very good team. And when you have them down, you have to knock them out. And when you have a 2-1 lead in the seventh inning, your bullpen has to get the bottom of the order out. You have to. If Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani beat you, Freddie Freeman beat you, cool, man. Mm-hmm. You shake their hand. That's where the money is. Those are their all-stars. Those are some of the best players in baseball. Mookie Betts and Shohei. Mookie Betts probably one of the best baseball players at the way this is going ever in a Dodger uniform. So you just got to take your head off. Those guys beat you. Those three guys beat you. You take your head off.
Yeah.
You got to get that bottom of the order out. You have to. And they were not able to do that when the time came. And it's just, it doesn't matter who the manager is. Somehow the bullpen can't come through with you to start the season. So that was rough to watch, man. That was rough to watch.
It's rough to watch. I think that we can take a lot away from – you can't take too much away from one game, especially when there's going to be a week off after tomorrow morning.
And then 160 more.
Right. But I will say that you're very rarely, if ever, going to beat the Dodgers when you have 7 walks, 4 pitch clock violations, and 2 errors on the field. And I know one of them was just like this crazy fluke injury, malfunction of a glove. But it's just not going to – when you do all these things, you leave 5 guys on base, you strike out 6 times, 2 errors, both led to a run, by the way, both immediately led to a run. You know, I understand that Manny Machado's not playing third, but that was a bad error by
Wade.
Yeah, so Tyler Wade. So it is just there was a lot of things that I'd like to see that I was not expecting to happen. You know, the pitch clock is not new. So I don't expect pitch clock violations, 4 of them, to happen. I understand that Mike Schilt was not trying to push Darvish too much in the first game and that, hey, I can throw my entire bullpen out there the next 2 days because we got a week off. So what does it matter? Right. So I'm not really upset about that. But, you know, you got to capitalize when you have opportunities, and especially against the Dodgers. And the Dodgers, that's what they do. They capitalize when they have opportunities. If your glove breaks in the middle of the game, we're going to take advantage and we're going to score 4 runs and 1 inning, game over. So pretty disappointing start. But I mean, when you really look at it in a nutshell, you're up 2-1 in the 8th against this potent lineup. That's pretty good.
You got to win that game.
And the chances are, Browner, and I'm dead serious, I don't want to sound like I'm making an excuse. The chances are, if that glove don't break, you turn 2, you go to the 9th with the lead. And then who knows what happens? Because then you bring out Robert Suarez probably, and then let's see what happens. So I don't want to put it all on a glove malfunction, but it's kind of hard not to put it all on a glove malfunction because after that, it just spiraled and snowballed out of control.
I thought that on the plus side, I thought they had some good showings. I thought Matsui had a very good showing. I thought De Los Santos had a very good showing. Again, this lineup.
Matsui's got stuff, bro. Matsui's got, and they were talking about the difference between Glasnow, how tall and lengthy, and how far his arm reaches towards the batter. And Matsui, he has like a 5'2" reach, so that thing, that jut's coming from the back, dude. That thing is coming, and it's moving, dude. That I loved watching Matsui. I like him already.
It was entertaining. I thought he had a very good showing out of the pen. Like I said, I thought De Los Santos had a good showing out of the pen. I thought Morejon had a good showing out of the pen, but he's the one I was most suspect about all the groups of people coming in. I just felt this was a very good tune-up for them to go out there. I think tomorrow, depending on how it goes, will be the same, to then get a week off, reassess, kind of, you know, look at each other. Go, okay, that was fun. Mm-hmm. Now let's get the season started, because it's a good tune-up. It's a good way to fire up your roster. If you're going to experiment with 2 things in 2 games, this is the 2 games. And mm-hmm. so as much as I dislike the lineup, the first 9, this is a good game to throw it out there and see what you can get from it. I don't want to see it again, but I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, it is. Overall, though, I did find it. And listen, I wasn't awake at 3 in the morning. I didn't even try.
No one should have been. No one.
But there was a lot. And if you did, great. But I'm wondering, and I'm curious to know, you can put it on the chat or comment below or tweet at us. Like, if you did wake up at 3 in the morning, did it feel like opening day? Did it feel like a special like event? Or was it because by the time I got up, I caught the final 2 innings, which is like a little before 6 a.m. And so I saw I think I turned it on right after the glove, because I think it was 3-2 when I finally turned it on. I'm just curious what it felt like to be up that early and watch a Padres baseball game that mattered.
See, I woke up, I didn't watch anything, I didn't look at anything. I woke up immediately, did my morning routine, and then turned it on. So I didn't know what had happened. And so I was fast forwarding through some portions of it, which kind of cut the game down for me. But I watched the first inning full through to try to absorb some of what I thought the energy would be like. And maybe because I was watching it on DVR and I knew it already happened, so but I was trying to create a real feel to it.
Probably, yeah.
I didn't feel anything. They kept talking about the roof. It talked about the roof a lot on the broadcast.
Because they were almost hitting it. They were almost hitting it every pop-up.
So it was well done by ESPN. Shout out to the people over there for filling that stadium up and the fanfare and dancing. Like, they do things way different over there, which actually yes. I kind of prefer and like. Found it to be a little more entertaining as a fan base, from a fan louder. Perspective. But I didn't feel the energy. It didn't come through the television. It didn't mm-hmm. come through. And like, and the people to say, oh, well, how is that? The Mexico game they played in Mexico, that came through to me. That felt like.
You watched it live, though.
Damn, this is different. Like, something's happening. This morning, it didn't.
It's almost kind of like I don't want to say it didn't feel real, but it didn't feel real. It didn't feel like a real. And what I mean by real is like it didn't feel like a real. This is going to count game. Baseball game,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it just didn't feel that way. But whatever. Like, listen, it does count, count.
To be fair to baseball, I don't feel that way when NFL does these Germany games or these London games. Those don't really feel like NFL products either. It feels mm-hmm. like a subset or an offput of an NFL game. So, but then again, like I said, the Mexico game jumped out and it felt big. Yeah. It felt special. This, you know, it didn't.
I am going to keep the same energy I keep for the NFL London, the NFL Germany, the NFL Mexico, and now the NFL Brazil games next year. I'm going to keep the same energy and tell you that this should be a preseason game. This should be a spring training. Absolutely. Because now, not now, but good because you got to play tomorrow. But after tomorrow, okay, full stop. Let's get on a plane. Let's come to San Diego. Let's try and adjust to the time. Let's play two more exhibition games. Let's have a day off. And then let's. Oh, and by the way, we have Fan Fest on Sunday. And then before Fan, we have the celebration of life for Peter Seidler on Saturday. So we all got to come back and do that stuff. And then we have two exhibition games Monday, Tuesday. We'll take Wednesday off. And then, okay, now here's the baseball season. Like, it's just going to throw these guys off completely for a while. Like, last year was World Baseball Classic, and you mm-hmm. complained to death about World Baseball Classic. This,
here,
to me...
Number one complainer right here.
This, to me, might be even more of a drastic change because you start earlier in camp. You got to fire up earlier in camp. You have to fly across the world. You got to play two games, fly back across the world, play...
Take a bunch of time off.
A bunch of time. Dude, it's just like... So, to me, this feels like a more of a disturbance than last year did.
Yeah. I just, again, if this is about expanding baseball, which they kept talking about, you're never going to put a professional team over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really understand the global. Baseball is already a global sport. And to feel the need to play countable games all the way over there, it just doesn't ring to me like something that is possible. Now, if you played these games, like I said, in Mexico, yeah, okay, that makes sense. You played these games in Cuba or the Dominican. That makes sense. There's never going to be a professional baseball team in that part of the world, a part of Major League Baseball. So I don't understand.
I don't think that's what it's for, understand. Though.
I know it's not. It's not for that at all. Yeah. They're not like what the NFL is doing or the NBA, who at some point in time think that they'll have four teams in, you know, in Europe. And you just do a circuit when you go over there and then you come back. Like, the NBA has real prospects of putting professional teams over there.
Mm-hmm.
Football keeps talking about putting two teams over there, which this is never going to happen, but putting two teams over there, doing a circuit, and then coming back. I don't see that happening with baseball at all. So, I didn't like it. I didn't like it from the beginning. I didn't like it when it was announced. And then when it was revealed that these were real games, I really hated it. So I'm probably not the person to ask this question. Not because they lost. The result is inconsequential. I still would have liked these games to have been at Dodger Stadium or to have been at Petco. Because again, another part about this that I really didn't like, it didn't sit well with me, is if you're going to do that, do Dodgers Yankees. Okay? Do two of the biggest brands you have, put them over there. This is an actual rivalry. People in this city, whether they want to admit it, people in that city, they don't like the other team. This is an atmosphere that's created in these home parks that makes these games better. And we lost out on that as a fan. We lost out on this opportunity in Petco to see this. They lost out on this opportunity in LA to see this. And so there's just a lot of reasons why I don't like it.
Yeah. I would say that the biggest difference between football and baseball is that we do have 81 games at home. So like the difference in football is like you got seven, you got eight games minimum, sometimes nine now. And now you're going to give away one. So that to me is kind of where I distinguish the big difference. So I don't think that two games, one home game matters all that much because there are 80 more opportunities to go see your team. So that being said, I thought the broadcast did a fantastic job of just really showing off Korea. Makes me kind of want to go to Seoul, to be honest with you. It looked kind of fun. It looked like a giant metropolitan area. I already love Korean food. I eat Korean food all the time here. I would love to go. I think they did a great job using a local Korean reporter on the sidelines who was
His mic didn't work at first.
Right. But he was a big part of the broadcast during COVID, during KBO, if you don't know that story, that he was their reporter for, you know, Ravitch and Boog Shambi and Eduardo Perez were all in their garages, but they did have one reporter in Korea who was part of the broadcast. I thought that was really cool. They kept showing the crowd. They kept showing like the dancers, the cheerleaders, whatever they're called. They kept showing Otani's wife. All of a sudden, we didn't even know he was married.
A lot.
Like, first of all, we didn't even know he was married. And now, like, we just seen a ton of her. Turns out she's like a basketball star in Korea or something like that. So that was interesting. Let me say this about the game, though, and about just the series in general. Yo, that Dodgers lineup is not fun to face.
It's rough.
That Dodgers lineup for anybody, not just the Padres. I'm saying this in general. That Dodgers lineup, if you don't get Lux, Outman, Hayward, whoever the bottom of the lineup is, if you don't get them out,
you're in trouble.
If they get on base and all of a sudden, and we saw this in the eighth, it was because of a broken glove, but we still saw it. If you have Lux, Outman, whoever on the bases, and here comes Betts, here comes Otani, here comes Freeman, man, that's scarier than when Trey Turner was in between them. You know, like when you throw Shohei Ohtani instead, like, and Trey Turner was already scary, and now you're putting in Ohtani instead of him. And if Will Smith continues to hit the way he's been hitting through his entire career, those four guys, that is seeing it now, Browner, like talking about it is one thing. About Ohtani joining the Dodgers is one thing. And the prospect of having to face him all the time, that's intimidating, but seeing it, and then seeing it, boom, boom, how fast it goes. Betts RBI, Ohtani RBI, you're done. Good luck getting us out, getting some runs. Yeah. That was,
See,
and they were hitting some rockets that went foul, too. The Dodgers were hitting rockets that were just going foul.
And maybe this is my ignorance, and I'm pretty sure I will be ridiculed for this. But in the right order, I feel that same way about the Padres. If you're seeing Tatis, Bogarts, Machado, that should be a problem. Mm-hmm. Going forward, that should be a problem. Again, if you're stacking them up against each other, those three, the Dodgers do have the edge because those three are better.
Yeah.
But the three we have, them boys can play.
Yeah,
those are high level Major League Baseball players, and we have Kim who will be good. We have Cronenworth who should have a rebound year, and so those are the reasons why I watch that Dodger lineup, and I'm excited for the Padre lineup because I literally believe yes they are better. I'm not saying that the Dodgers are better. The Dodgers are a better lineup, but the Padres 1-9 they're not that far behind. They're not, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's wild. It's wild to watch them just be, to know it's coming and still to watch and to see it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right though. Like the prospects of pitchers facing Bogarts, Tatis, Machado should be as intimidating. It's not, but it should be up there with intimidation factors. Like, man, if these bottom of the guys get on base, if it's Wade, if it's Merrill, whoever's at the bottom, if they get on base.
By the way, I loved all of Jackson Merrill's at bats. He didn't get any hits.
Yeah. but you loved his at bats.
I loved his at bats. He looked ready. And that's all I got. He looked ready. For a 20-year-old.
No strikeouts.
He looked ready. He looked aggressive as opposed to Tatis being aggressive, which I didn't like.
I do want to comment on one thing. If you don't like Jake Cronenworth hitting third, I got news for you. They don't have a better left-handed option when it's a right-handed pitcher. So just get used to it. Just letting you know. Like, just get you. That's the hole that Juan Soto left for you, buddy. Like, I'm telling you. Like, you can talk about Merrill and whoever, but that's a massive hole in the batting lineup that was left when Juan Soto left. That left-handed bat at the top of the lineup is gone because he got no option. It's Jackson Merrill. It's Jerickson Profar. It's Wade. It's Cronenworth. That's it. So get used to it.
This get is used my to opinion. It. This is me. I would rather see a young Jackson Merrill hitting that spot. I would rather see that. Because I know what I'm getting for Cronenworth, that he operates better at either the second hole or the fifth. To me, I think that's where he sits better. Putting him third, it's just he doesn't have the power.
I'm not gonna have a. I can't pretend to be a baseball roster lineup construction, expert. I'm just telling you that. Get used to it because he's gonna be there when it's a right-handed pitcher. So when we come back, we're gonna be joined by our boy Christopher Reed, who breaking news by the way. See if we can get it out of him. He just booked a studio film, JB.
Oh,
yeah. So let's talk to him about this game coming up next. All right, everybody, welcome back to Kaplan and Crew with Just the Crew. If you missed it earlier, Scott checked in from USC for the Caleb Williams Pro Day. So if you want to go check that out, he's up in LA doing the LA captain. He'll be back tomorrow, and we'll recap game two of what's happening in Seoul, South Korea. But right now, before we get to our next guest, I do want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by Mountain Trust Realty, and there's only one guy to call. If you're looking to buy a home, sell a home, do anything with your home, that's Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299. I know that number, and I can, for my life, I can never tell you my mom's cell phone number if I tried right now. But I know that number, 858-376-1299, MountainTrustRealty.com. Dude, I've been checking Redfin. Don't tell Gary. I don't know what's going on in the housing market, but these estimates are going up like crazy right now. The housing cost is going up again, but interest rates are dropping. But don't listen to me. Listen to Gary. Give him a call, 858-376-1299. Joining us right now, it's one of our favorites. And Browner, did you email him? Did you email him about the boat?
That's a good question. I did not.
Oh, no. Well, here he is, our boy. We'll fill him in right now. Actor, podcast host, Chris Reed. How are you, sir?
Known ocean guy. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, know you're an ocean guy.
He's on the team list, so he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to be emailed. He's here.
He needs to be told about it.
Yeah, he's on the team. He's the guy who gets told, hey, this is what's happening. He doesn't need an email.
All right, Chris. So here's the deal. Every year, the Great Friends do a holiday cruise aboard the Yacht America from Next Level Sailing off Shelter Island here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. This year, during the holidays, the boat was under construction. It got totally stripped down to its bones, sanded, painted, and now it's looking better than ever. So we couldn't do it during the holidays, but it is back on the water out here in San Diego doing whale watches, nextlevelsailing.com, by the way. And now we're going to do a holiday spring break extravaganza holiday cruise.
March 30th. Saturday, March 30th. That's very, very cool.
Are you available to join us, the Great Friends, you and a plus one aboard the Yacht America?
I believe I am either going to be down there that weekend or I'm going to be down 3 days before. My professional schedule is currently up in the air, but there's a very good chance, let's go in NFL terms, probable chance that I will be down there.
All right. Can we pencil you in as a guest?
Yes. Pencil hard.
All right. There you go, Browner. Pencil.
Hard pencil you.
Chris Reed with a hardcore lead pencil. Write him down. Plus one?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely being, plus one.
He's being hard penciled as we speak.
By the way, this is an extended cruise. I have the information now. Normally, mm-hmm. it's just been like a 2-hour thing. You know, the captain's busy. It's the sun goes down. It gets really dark out there. This is a full-on sunset cruise. We set sail 4 p.m., and it's open. It's open.
Yeah.
And the captain wants to come back. He comes back. He said 7-ish, 7:30-ish. We see the sunset, and we come back to dock out in Shelter Island, my man.
Awesome. You don't want to be out on the bay more than 2 hours in the cold, hard, black heart of December. But yeah. Springtime in San Diego with the sunset, Coronado in your vision. It's going to be something else.
I'll entice you a little bit more. How about that? I'll entice you a little bit more, my friend. We will do a pregame tailgate. And according to Scott, Taco Man is happening. We're going to have a Taco Man at the park in Shelter Island in front of where we dock. Probably about 2:30-ish, 2 o'clock, we'll start partying, tailgating right there.
Oh, man, what an extravaganza. Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah, I'm sure the great friends are going to I don't know how many, if you've met a lot of our great friends, but I'm sure they're going to be stoked to have a chance to talk to you. And by then, we'll be two games into the season. No, four games into the season.
I have met the great friends on a boat, as a matter of fact. Joe Rigby.
That's right.
Yeah, we went fishing together. So I'll bring some trolling rods to see if we can snag a pelican or something.
Now, I don't know if we're able to do that, but I will ask the captain.
You asked for forgiveness, not permission there, Alex.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Throw that thing
off. All right, Chris. Well, I'm stoked to have you again, dude, because we had a blast. Last time we saw you, it was probably one of the most magical sporting nights of my life. So it'll be great to see you again. I got to ask you, dude, were you up at 3 a.m. this morning?
I was up at 2:45 a.m.
You are a beast, my friend.
I wanted to get in the opening ceremonies, you know, because special stuff.
So what did you think of just in general? Like, because I know, like, me and Browner, we've talked a lot about just why are they doing this kind of thing? Yes. Why are they making these games count? Why are they interrupting a long season already? Why are they interrupting it even more? What did you think just in general of this idea and the execution of it all so far?
Well, I have romanticized the notion since I heard about it. I thought it was going to be fun. A great atmosphere after seeing the WBC scenes that we saw of Team Korea and all that. And now having witnessed it, and heard from some of our Padres Hot Tub listeners who made the trip over to Korea to take it all in, I think it's just about a dud. I wouldn't say it's a failure, but they have put these teams through a logistical frenzy, and the atmosphere in the stadium doesn't seem to have paid off all. Buddy. Yeah. Here, we're going
to bring them on in.
This is the kid Rana.
Yeah, she wanted to see what was going on.
Hey, how are you? What's your name?
This is Rana.
Hi, Rana. How are you? I know she can't hear us, but
Rana woke up at 4:30 thinking that she had the house to herself.
Surprise.
Oh boy, I was right outside. She saw me, was like, "Oh, Daddy." And then she came out and listened to Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn talk through the game. Because then I turned off the television.
Did it feel like a special event from a television viewing aspect?
Until the game started,
right? Because to me, it didn't. Because I was telling Alex, the Mexico game jumped off the screen. It felt like it felt special. It felt like a thing. This felt very like mild in a sense. I don't know. It's hard.
Do you guys think it's because for the Mexico when we were already like, you know, a month in? So we were already in that baseball thing.
It also could be the environment. This Korea stadium, everybody was reporting the ball seemed to die in center field. Where in Mexico, you know, it was at Mexico City altitude, moon ball. Mm-hmm. So maybe a little bit of that. I just think it was too, I think it's folks not being all that invested in the teams. I think when it just comes down to that, I think if they were watching their Korean national team or one of their home squads, they would have been more into it. You know, I know MLB needs to do these things to make inroads, but doing it 2 weeks before the start of the season, interrupting these teams' spring training, when the Padres haven't had a normal spring training since 2020, COVID. Then there was the lockdown. Then there was the, you know, last year was World Baseball Classic. Yeah, they have not had a normal spring training in 5 years now. So to interrupt them like this, I hope that they've been preparing a lot better than they did last year.
What's wild is, Chris, is I think about, so they'll play again tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. Joe Musgrove against Yamamoto, which I'm stoked to see. But secondly, they'll wrap that up. They'll probably jump on a plane immediately, come right back to San Diego, chill on Friday, celebration of life for Peter Seidler. I'm sure a lot of the players are going to show up for that. Then you have the Fan Fest on Sunday. You got an exhibition game Monday and Tuesday. You chill on Wednesday in theory. And then here come the Giants. Here comes Blake Snell, Logan Webb. And all of a sudden, it's like this whole thing seems like it could really throw a whole, I don't even know what to call it, in the Padres' early part of the season again.
Yeah, let's call it a pipe wrench, man. It's kind of weird because we heard teams complaining last year, the top seeds, about the week off in between when they didn't have to play in the wild card round in between the regular season and the divisional series. So we know that timing affects baseball teams. I think this would have been a fun series had the games not counted.
Yeah.
I do think that tomorrow the team's going to tee off on a new pitcher and come home 1-1. So, like, regardless of record, I think these games are a little bit farcical. Having seen one now, I don't think the payoff is going to be worth it.
See, I didn't like these games from the beginning. I didn't like when they were announced. I don't necessarily see the benefit of putting a game over a regular season game over there as to an exhibition game over there. I didn't really understand the two teams that they chose to put over there. Like, as I was explaining earlier, and for maybe someone who didn't hear it, this seems more like a Dodgers-Yankees situation than a Dodgers-Padres, because that's a real rivalry. Like, that game
means historical
something to the two cities that's involved in it. And to take it from that and put it over there, it just didn't. And I understand it because the Padres have foreign players on the roster. It fits them because they have more players that relate to that community. But I didn't like it at all in any way the second it was announced. I didn't like it actually now watching it and having it happen and see it. I just felt like it was a no for me. It was a big no for me. But for you, what'd you think of the lineup?
The only note I have from management game theory in the whole game is I don't get why you put Graham Pauly on the team, a rookie, and then have him make his debut pinch hitting against the Dodgers closer in the ninth. I thought the kid should have made his start alongside Jackson Merrill. I think the lineup's very shallow. I don't think Jacob Cronenworth should be hitting three in this lineup or any lineup right now. So I have worries about it, you know, but as far as doing what they could with what they have right now, I mean, it was fine.
I was telling Browner, like, the thing about replacing Juan Soto is, A, it's almost impossible. But then, B, the hole that it leaves in the top of that lineup with the left-handed bat is insurmountable, because you're replacing it with Jake Cronenworth. And who are your better left-handed options? Jerickson Profar, Wade, Merrill. Like, you're just not going to be able to do anything against a right-handed batter better than Jake Cronenworth, unfortunately.
Yeah, in our PHT predictions episode we just did, I predicted that Jackson Merrill will be hitting second or third before the end of May. And today did nothing to change my mind off of that. Hopefully, he did. And he got contact on it. You can see the guy can hit the ball just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. You saw the Dodgers kind of doing that. Shohei's RBI single came on a pitch that was nearly a foot inside. And I like seeing guys who can just hit the ball wherever it's put. Jackson's one of those. They still need reinforcements, guys. I mean, we've been banging the drum for Brandon Belt or Tommy Pham for a month solid now, and hopefully seeing the team struggle when Xander, Bogart, Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, and Ha-Seong Kim are 0 for 10 on the day. You need some help at the back end.
I thought I thought Cronenworth in third didn't make any sense as well. And I also see, I think you should hit Jackson Merrill third because that's what he's accustomed to. So
I get not putting the kid in his debut in the top third of the lineup. Like I think he needs to see some major league pitching for a few weeks.
Okay.
But he's going to force their hand. I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, but I think everybody, especially us on this show, have been begging, or at least I have, to do something to this outfield, to add something of substance on the left field. Like, listen, Profar is a great vibes guy. I've said this from the get. I said this in August September when he came around. But the thing about it is, like, do you really want him in left field every day?
If he's your 24th guy on the roster, great. Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. You know, but starting in the number seven spot, don't like it at all. And it's one thing to have a guy like him who is scrappy with his at-bats. He'll see a lot of pitches, hit one hard. It's great to have one of those guys in your lineup. But when you have him, Tyler Wade, to a lesser extent, Jackson Merrill, when you have three of them, just kind of scrappy, contacty guys, it doesn't lead to prolonged success.
We just talked about this in the last segment. What'd you think about, obviously the conversation has been Ohtani's now a Dodger. How crazy is that lineup going to be? How ridiculous is that top half of their lineup going to be? What'd you think after seeing it, especially in that eighth when Jake Cronenworth's glove exploded out of nowhere? And then the bottom of the lineup for the Dodgers, it's Hernandez, it's Altman, it's Lux. They all get on base. And then boom, 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 game over because Betts and Ohtani get hits. Like, how crazy was it to actually see that lineup now?
No, sir. I don't like it. <laughs> You know? It is formidable, you know.
Yeah.
The length they have. I've bagged on them all year long for spending $40 million on Teoscar Hernandez, which they will after they pay their competitive balance tax. But, man, having him hit sixth or fifth, the lineup's just so crazy deep. They're going to be a problem all year long. And, between Freeman, Betts, and Ohtani, none of them had an OPS under 900 last year. That's just your top three.
Got to be honest with you. I totally forgot they signed Hernandez until today. I was like, they got him too.
No, I bagged on it at the time because, like, wow, in a year where you're seeing veteran guys go for a lot less than expected, you give him the bag, but
yeah,
it worked.
One of the two things I want to get your take on. One, the guy's no longer with the Padres, but the first one being the pressure that the top of the lineup puts for you to get the bottom of the lineup out means you have to throw those guys strikes. And I think that's the portion of this that a lot of people may not be able to understand because you go, well, you got to get those bottom guys out. But they're professional hitters too. So if you throw them strikes, they're more than likely going to get hits. And two, we now know where Blake Snell is going.
Oh.
The amount of time it took for him to sign, what do you think that this is signaling now around baseball?
I think it's signaling that the teams are talking to each other. You know, you have, what, 8 or 10 teams who didn't spend $15 million in free agency? It may be the TV money. They know that media is changing. We've seen streamers gut my industry, the acting industry, TV and film. And we've seen them also struggle in the past couple years as everything catches up to them, as the business model changing catches up. That has come for baseball completely. So maybe that's it. But I think it's just them protecting their money, which you can't really fault them, but I absolutely do.
Talking about your industry, and we'll wrap up with this. We let you go be a father. Sorry for holding you up here for a second.
No, not at all. She's been a gremlin this week, man.
It's all good, dude. I saw an Instagram from Stone Talent Agency. Is our boy about to be in a studio film?
Yeah, man, finally checking that box. Friggin' 16 years after my first professional acting job. It's not a huge part. I don't. It's definitely something that could end up on the cutting room floor. You hear all the stories, but Yeah, finally in a studio movie, a real one, directed by a famous person and starring a famous person. I'll get to the work that I'm slated to do is by, you know, one of the most famous people out there. And, you know, I hope it's up to my speed and it sets off a chain reaction for my career.
Are we? How many questions are we allowed to ask? Or we can ask all the questions, but what are we allowed to learn here? You say famous director, you say famous actor.
I do. Yeah.
Any hints here?
Famous.
Any initials?
Say, you know, nobody bogus, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Definitely, I would say they're most excellent.
Okay. When you got the script, did you know that these people were involved in this project, or was it something where you were trying to get your hands on that script?
No, why I'm trying to be a little guarded about it is they're still using a code name for the title of the movie, and they actually haven't given me the script. You know, my part's just a page and a half. It's just a little moment of the movie. So they're still trying to keep things a little secret. It's been described as a thriller, a dark comedy thriller. So... Ooh.
So yeah, it's not,
I'm very excited.
So when you got the script, it didn't say Mission Impossible 7.
No, it's not quite up to blockbuster. We're just calling a studio film, not a blockbuster, not a franchise.
Ooh.
You know?
Oh, wait, so these are terms that people use in the industry to identify.
These are terms I use when talking with my homies on, on a broadcast.
Well, Chris, we always appreciate you joining us, man. We look forward to learning more once you're able to tell us more. But before you bounce, dude, I know you're rocking a podcast with our boy Craig Elston. So tell people about Padres Hot Tub, where they can listen to it and or watch it.
Well, we have been doing all of our episodes on YouTube for about a year. Padres Hot Tub, one of the largest independent Padres-focused ones out there. You can get it anywhere you listen to your podcast. Craig, of course, just got the midday hosting job on 97.3 The Fan. Our producer, Rafe Cantor, is up here with me in Hollywood grinding away. Yeah. He offers like...
You've had Rafe on the show before.
Oh, really? You got to talk with our quant?
We had him on a lot when he did the Bolted audio podcast.
He is an incredibly smart, funny dude. We have a lot of fun. I'm the least serious out of all of them, but you guys already knew that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us, man. We look forward to seeing you on the boat next week. Let us know
if
you can officially make it, but we're counting on you being there, man.
Yeah, put me on there. I'm pretty sure it's happening.
All right, dude. Well, thank you so much. This is Chris Reed. Follow him on social media or he's a movie star now. So,
yeah,
like this is the boy right there. Chris Reed, thanks for joining us. We got more to talk about when we come back, Kaplan and crew. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Kaplan and crew with just the crew, myself and Browner with you guys here. On Wednesday, as Scott's up in LA doing his LA cap thing at the USC Pro Day. Reminder, we are brought to you by Life Mushroom Life, lifebrew.com with a Y, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com. Use the promo code KLIFE, K-L-Y-F-E, 20 to get 20% off your purchase at Mushroom Life. Brett's a wild man. So if you go there, you order Life Brew, use our promo code, you're going to get some extra stuff as well. So go check them out, lifebrew.com. Coffee is absolutely delicious. It's an instant coffee, so all you need is hot water. You scoop in some coffee in there. It almost comes out like a latte, to be totally honest with you. It was like, you don't need to add anything to it. It was great. It was fantastic. So go check them out, lifebrew.com. Their website is a delight, and you can see it there. Lifebrew.com, KLIFE20 to get 20. Oh, Browner's got the bag.
I got the bag, baby. You go get one. I got the bag. You go get the bag. Shout out.
All right. Go check them out. Lifebrew.com.
I was eating a cookie in the middle of the break, so I had to try to chew it. And at the same
time. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I got this. I got the bag. Let me go throw it up while we running the app.
Where'd you get cookies from?
I've had this cookie on this desk for like 8 days. It's delicious.
Dang, that's some willpower.
It was freshly wrapped. It was freshly wrapped. It was freshly wrapped, man. Shout out to the Boothang who gave me that.
Shout out to the Boothang. Yeah. Sorry, I'm texting Scott right now about some stuff, and he needs to let me concentrate. He keeps texting.
He posted on Instagram left and right. So he just posted a picture of him and George Sedano 43 minutes ago.
Oh, I thought it was left and right. Is there more than that? Is he putting stuff on his story or what?
The last, nope. I guess I said left and right because the last one I saw, then the next picture I saw was him.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. So it is officially March Madness, Browner. Yesterday, did you watch the first four?
I had the unfortunate pleasure of wasting part of my life watching Virginia play basketball.
Wait, whoa. You watch history. What are you talking about?
Get out of my face with that.
You watched a Mountain West team win a freaking NCAA tournament game, not named San Diego State.
Listen, that's why I tuned in. I was trying to support the situation. I regret it. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I regret watching that game. That was disgusting.
Yeah.
You shouldn't fire that coach because he's a good coach, but he's got some ugly losses on his resume. He's a 116 loser. He won a national championship, but he's also repeatedly in tournaments can't score. How you get 14 points and a half? How? See, like, this is the nightmare scenario for San Diego State. This is the, like, Virginia is a very good program. They cannot score. Now, they don't have a player good as Jaden Ledee, but, man, I was watching that game, and I was getting shook.
Well, from my understanding, Virginia shouldn't even have been in this tournament.
True. They're like 138 in offense or something like that.
Yeah, they're terrible. I mean, how many points did they end up with yesterday? 42. 42. That was maybe the Mountain West is that good. Maybe this is just a step one into figuring out how good the Mountain West was.
I would agree with you if they weren't had lost to a 16 seed. I would agree to you, but they are the one team that lost to a 16. So he got too much hanging around him, man. There was a tough watch, man. Shout out to them, Colorado State. Y'all did y'all thing. Respect. Y'all kicked the man when he was down. If they can't make a shot, you keep making yours. What they do, ain't got nothing to do with you.
So here's what we saw last night. I'm going to go through how bad the Mountain West was and what Colorado State did yesterday, even though it's considered a tournament win, maybe not a tournament, a real tournament win.
Get out of here.
But now they're in the tournament. So here's what they did yesterday. Since 2016 through 2022, the Mountain West was 5-17. In 2021, they went 0-2 with their two schools, San Diego State, Utah State, both bounced in the first round. 2022, they went 0-4. San Diego State, Boise State, Wyoming, Colorado State all bounced in the first round or the play-in. Last year, all non-SDSU schools went 0-3. Utah State, Nevada, Boise State all bounced in the first round. San Diego State did go 5-1, losing in the championship game. So it inflates the Mountain West for everybody else. And this year, there you go, JB. 1-0. Mountain West is here. That win yesterday, though, was the first win by a Mountain West school not named San Diego State in the last five tournaments.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's Brian Dutcher and San Diego State's back hurting right now, carrying this damn conference.
Carrying that thing, boy. Carrying that thing.
I'm happy for
the conference. Okay. I really am. But I hate that I had to watch them play Virginia. I can't get over how bad that was. Like, that hurt my eyes. So don't give me another one of those, please.
You know what hurt my eyes? Let me pull it up. This is a totally different direction. And I understand why they did it.
Is it a full stop?
It's kind of a full stop. This hurt my eyes. What they made Chan Ho Park wear for the first pitch hurt my eyes. Look at this jersey.
Lord,
I know he played for both teams.
Nah.
I get it. But what are you doing here, man? Come on. That Podgers? Oh, man. That was not fun.
What?
Yeah. You didn't see that yesterday? You threw out the first pitch.
No, I didn't see that this morning.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, this morning. Padres, half Dodgers jersey.
The Podgers?
The Podgers.
Oh, man. Listen,
this is like something a parent does when one of their kids plays for the Padres, one of their kids plays for the Dodgers.
Right.
Yeah, and that was bad.
Listen, man, when it comes to that, you just got to go, hey, look, I'm not wearing that. I played more for X team, or I had more memories with this team. I'm going to wear that jersey. I'm not doing this split thing. This is going around the world. Are you guys insane? I look stupid.
I look stupid. Well, he played for both teams. He was the first ever Korean pitcher to pitch. The first ever Korean pitcher to pitch in Major League Baseball. I liked the idea, I guess, but I hated the execution. Whatever that was bad. Just put, they had a hat. They had a commemorative hat they were selling that said, like, it was all white. It had Dodger logo, Padre logo. It was like a Korea hat. That would have been better than that. That was
put
bad.
That on and throw the ball, man. Why they got you out here looking lost? Yeah. Like you don't know which way is which. Oh,
while I'm here, I'll get to this too, JB, since we're here again. Left, right turns. Tonight, Joe Musgrove making his major league debut, Yoshinobu Yamamoto against Joe Musgrove. Oh, man. 3:05 a.m.
Don't be surprised if there's not a lot of hits by the Padres.
Don't Chris Reed said they're going to smack him around.
Right. Or it's going to be one or the other. Either they're going to get this guy out of here by the second inning, or this thing's going to be really ugly for the Padres. Because either you can hit a guy you just saw, or you cannot hit a guy you just saw. So this trip's going to end up really, really going on my list of why the hell did they do that.
Yeah, if they end up missing the playoffs by one game because they get swept in L.A., or in Korea by L.A., you're going to be real mad, aren't you?
I'm going to be hot, bro. I'm going to be hot because we gave these away. This would feel like we gave these away. Like, we didn't have to do this. We didn't have to be in this situation. So I'm not going to be happy about it. Not going to lie.
All right. Yesterday, we were joined by San Diego State assistant coach Dave Velasquez. If you missed that interview, it was great. I love how energetic he is, dude. Like, I just love him so much. And he's always, really good with his time and always joins us every time we ask. So shout out to Dave. If you missed it, I like how the three of us, we're like, hey, who are you playing? Because we don't know anything about
him.
We know nothing. Here's what Dave said as San Diego State gets, they believe they're traveling to Spokane today to take on UAB on Friday morning at 10:45. Here's what Dave, his little scouting report for UAB.
They're incredibly athletic. They're actually a fun team to watch play, to be honest with you. They play really fast. They can really score the ball. They have a stud rebounder. Their best player, Landon Bory, he's one of the top in the double-doubles in the country. He's going to be a problem for us. They play a crazy zone defense. They mix up their defenses all the time. They go and trap you right away. They try to play as fast as you can. So it's going to be a challenge for us. They try to turn you over, and they really rebound the ball. So those are two things that we're going to have to, to do to win the game. We're going to have to take care of the ball, and we're going to have to defensive rebound. So, again, if we can make the game a half-court game, it's probably going to be in our favor. But UAB is a very talented team. And it's like anybody in the NCAA tournament. No bad team's playing this weekend, boys. I mean, everybody's good, and everybody has really good strengths. And sometimes, and most teams have a weakness that you're going to try to expose and be able to hopefully use your strengths against theirs. And so, again, UAB it's a fun team to watch. They get after it. They're completely different than us, which is good. Two different styles, and it'll be a fun game to watch.
Did you want to tell him that Virginia played last night?
Mm-mm.
He said there's no bad teams playing right now.
Mm-mm. Listen, that man might be coaching Virginia next year. That was ugly. That was ugly.
And now here is yesterday during his press conference with the media, Brian Dutcher talking about their matchup against UAB.
Well, we've got to get ready for a very good UAB team today. Kind of took a day off yesterday, rested legs. We watched film. We walked through some things. But today will be an on-floor day where we're going to have to get serious about our game prep. They're dangerous. They're talented, they're well coached, and they really rebound the basketball. So they'll present a lot of challenges. Congratulations to Jaden Ledee, All-American, third team. So happy for Jaden. I'm just wondering why he wasn't on the first team. That's how good I think he is. So another day to get better, and we're ready to take advantage of that.
Yeah, he brought up Jaden Ledee not being a first team, second team. He was a third team All-American. Jaden Ledee officially by the Associated Press. Finished the season with 21.1 points, 8.4 rebounds. What can you say about what he did for San Diego State this year? From what I brought it up yesterday, Brian. I don't know if you caught it. I watched the shot again. I watched the clips. I was watching the breakdown of March Madness, and it was fascinating, dude. When you look at the bench, you got Saunders on the bench, you got Bird on the bench, and LaDee was on the bench too.
Yeah,
like LaDee wasn't watching. On the floor watching, and all these guys freaking out when that shot went in. It just reinforces how deep this team was last year and how experienced they are this year. Because all three of those guys, obviously LaDee, but Bird and Saunders are playing real minutes, making significant plays, and now they head into the tournament as a very experienced team that I think can make some noise. Like, and by noise, I mean, I think they could beat UAB. I would expect them to make it competitive, if not beat Auburn. And then if you face UConn, then, you know, good luck.
I just, listen. Get your two wins, okay? Get your two wins, and then let's talk. That's what I'm saying. Get your two wins, and then let's have different conversation. Because I wish injury on no one, and I mean no one. Mm-hmm. But if someone goes down with a rolled ankle and warm-ups for UConn, I'm not going to cry for them.
Well, what about, like, McCullough from Kansas? He's out. You know, like, he was one. I believe he's like their top scorer. Like, Kansas. why aren't we having a Florida State moment with Kansas right now? Why aren't we complaining about them hiding this injury and getting them a 4 seed when they're no longer a 4 seed?
Like, because I don't in reality, think really. I don't. He's their leading scorer, but they got a lot of good kids, man. They got a lot of good kids. Bill Self is a great coach who's won the thing before recently. They got Hunter Dickinson, who's a great leader, big time player in the post. So them losing the leading
scorer, also banged up,
but he's been there, he's done that. Similar to Jaden LaDee, been there now, done that. I would rather have that guy. I don't think it hurts them that much.
You don't think it hurts you lose your top scorer?
Can't if it okay?
Come on, man. Okay, what happens if Jaden LaDee goes out?
Problems.
What was the same problems. Thing? It's the same thing.
Different level recruits.
No.
You don't believe? See, to me, there's a kid on Kansas who's a 5-star player who we never heard of, McDonald's All-American, who doesn't play, mm-hmm. who can come out and give you some. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. They have a chance of a guy going down. That's a massive assumption. Massive assumption.
I was like, first of all, that's an assumption.
Massive assumption. I'm not disagreeing with you. That's a massive assumption mm-hmm. by me. I just don't. I've seen San Diego State's roster. I've seen them play a lot. And my biggest complaint is they don't have a second guy. Kansas has a second and a third guy. They mm-hmm. may not be 20 points a game, but instead of being 10 and 10, you can now do 15 and 15 or 14 and 16. Like, that's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know another guy on San Diego State who can get you 16 points. Now, there's a bunch of guys who
consistently,
get you
consistently,
right,
no,
right. There's a guy who can get you 8. There's another guy who gets you 6. They do it collectively.
Yeah.
But can you pick out a guy and go, this guy's going to give me 16 points 2 games in a row?
Lamont
not named Jaden LaDee.
If I ask you, all right, let me ask you a question. Here's trivia for all San Diego State Aztec fans. Who's the second leading scorer on the San Diego State Aztecs this year?
I would say Micah Parrish.
Wrong.
Who is it?
Reese Waters.
See, that's the problem. That's the problem. How? I mean, I know how, but yikes.
I mean, isn't that yikes. Surprising?
It's very surprising.
And I think that's why Dave Velasquez yesterday also told us if Jaden scores his normal and two other guys score double digits, we're not losing.
They're unbeatable.
We're not losing. I mean, it's no secret. And I'm not familiar enough with Kansas to tell you that them losing their top scorer is obviously Browner. You could absolutely be right. They could have another 5-star dude that was lined up behind them that can go out there and drop 20. Maybe. I don't know. But I do know this. If Jaden LaDee doesn't score over 15 points, this team's probably in trouble. Mm. Probably.
I agree.
So let's hope that doesn't happen. And if he gets to the free throw line and he gets all his points from the free throw line, great. I don't care. I don't care how they come. I just need them to come. I just need those points to come. All right, everybody. It's time now for the highlight of the day.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
Oh, my goodness. This Torrey Holistics highlight of the day is brought to you by Torrey Holistics with the promo code is BETTERBUD. I keep shouting out Oxnard Holistics because it's open now and our promo code also works there. So if you're in the Ventura County area, Oxnard Holistics is now open near the Oxnard Shores. Great part of the city. Not where I grew up. Actually, didn't really went that way very much when I grew up, but it's very nice over there. Oxnard Holistics in Ventura County. California Holistics down in Chula Vista. Torrey Holistics up in like the Mira Mesa area. Oxnard Holistics in Ventura County and Mammoth Holistics. We're out there. Our promo code works at all four locations. 20% off a down at the Southern California ones. So there you go, man. I'm watching. You know how like you're a straight up football show. Like McAfee is literally they're watching the pro day, and that's just what they're like this. They're watching the pro day, and they're talking about what they see on TV. Like that's what they're doing right now.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. All right. Before we wrap up today, it's been 2 days and we haven't talked about the full on bracket and the bracket that matters. And that's the Brown Facts bracket, Browner. The Brown Facts bracket is up and I need you guys to go vote. Okay. I need y'all to go tell us what you think Browner's worst take of 2024 or actually the last calendar year was.
I would say best take, actually.
Yeah, whatever, however you want to say it. Here's where we're at right now. Browner, hot take number two, CJ Stroud is not that good. Rather have Justin Fields is easily leading. Browner does not yell during the show.
Okay.
Which take is worse? Number seven, Kevin Hart is not funny. Slim lead over rather have Xander Bogaerts and Mike Trout.
Okay.
Oh, this one, I knew this one was going to be a problem for you. Hot dogs for breakfast is okay is smashing. Shohei Ohtani will flop for the Dodgers. Smashing, yeah, dude.
It's early. We got time.
This
one
is also smashing. So, like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe people haven't worked in restaurants like I have. Mustaches are stupid, but you had one while you said it is easily smashing. Parents should not clean up after their kids.
See?
Number four. This one's gonna win. I'm telling you right now, this one's going to win. This is gonna win. Breakfast burritos suck is up 90 to 10% over Barry Bonds did not do steroids.
Listen, it's about the opponent you up against.
Right. Well, here's your 12-5 upset. Manny Machado. 93% of people think that's worse than saying Taylor Swift is a five.
Told y'all, five.
Five. Zach Wilson could do – this is also – dude, you got some hot ones, bro. I'm telling you, you got some hot – Zach Wilson could do anything Brock Purdy can. 96.5% the swag chain is the best sellie in baseball. And this one, which is crazy. Number one, 93% as well. Jim Harbaugh is better than Andy Reid is smashing the billionaires one, which out of context makes no sense. So please, right. Everybody, go to KaplanandCrew.com, the side of debate of the day. Vote here, por favor, KaplanandCrew.com. This is what it looks like if you're on radio. Just scroll down past our sponsors and it's boom, right there. Third thing you'll see. Please go vote on the Browner, hashtag Brown Facts Hot Takes bracket.
Back to our previous topic, Kansas, Jamari McDaniel, four-star mm-hmm. recruit, freshman, 6'4 guard, combo mm-hmm. guard, averages a whopping 1 point in 29 games.
Right.
So
it's okay. Zach Wilson was a top three pick.
Why would you go right back to Zach Wilson?
Because we're just talking about how you just, he's a 5'4 star recruit. We see these dudes flame out all the time. Do it and to never do it and then expect to be doing it in the tournament. Okay. That's all I'm saying. When we come back on radio, more to get to on radio, checking in with Scott on podcast uncensored. When we come back, shout out KaplanandCrew.com. All right, everybody. I do wish that y'all can watch Kaplan and Crew tonight because the impassioned breakfast hot dogs for breakfast is okay by Browner. Like, it's just something you all need to watch. I think, like, I genuinely also believe, dude, like, you can really, you need a partner. You need a McDonald's. You need a you know who would be, you know who would fucking do this?
Who?
You know who would do the hot dog for breakfast?
Who?
Taco Bell.
Ooh.
Or you know who would do it? You know who would really fucking do it? That creep Jack. He'll do anything.
But they don't have hot dogs there.
Not yet.
You gotta have a place that already has hot dogs.
Hoppers. They got like chicken teriyaki bowls at Jack in the Box.
That's true.
You don't think they'll Jack just throw it? What if they do? A hot dog? Is it technically considered a hot dog if you wrap it in a tortilla and fry it?
Nah, I think it becomes a pig in a blanket.
Yeah.
So it has to stay in a bun.
It does have to stay in a bun. But thing is, you can get one of those 7-Eleven like rotator thingies and just have it plugged in all morning. And then you just get some buns from a bag and boom, there you go. Hot dog for breakfast, dude.
Here's the thing. You could just have it boiling. You could just have it boiling at a particular temperature. They got science. Okay. Jack in the Box has a mad scientist somewhere out here in Kearney Mesa. They're just thinking of stuff. So they can come up with a chemical way to just boil it for 10 hours. So whenever you it's ready.
They just put the weenie on the little spinny thing at 7-Eleven all day, and it's fine. They can do that at Jack in the Box.
Now, I ain't never ate no weenie from 7-Eleven, sir. So I don't know what none of that's about. But what I will tell you is this: if you boil that thing, it got longer shelf life in the cooking mm-hmm. world.
All right, if you say so. Brown, are the Mountain West, are they going to get a second win tonight? Boise State going to win tonight?
I hope so. I picked him in my bracket.
Is Deion Sanders going to be in Dayton?
No. He's done enough for the university up to this point of the year. He cool. He could chill for a little bit.
There's been like, it's funny because like Wagner versus Howard, no idea who the hell those schools are. No idea what conference they play in. No idea what state they're in. But an 18-17 school and a 17-15 school making it, were they automatic bids? They had to be automatic bids, right?
You would hope.
And tonight,
these are conference tournament winners.
Tonight, Montana State 17-17. They had to win their regular season conference. I mean, their Mountain West. Yeah, they did. They won the Big Sky. This is the shit that Tom Izzo was talking about. Tom Izzo was bitching about how he wants to get rid of automatic qualifiers.
No, I don't want to do that.
I know. I just love watching these big coaches just cry. And he's in the conference and he's in the freaking tournament.
I just think I think a lot of these guys, man, they've lost sight of what it is about when you want to exclude the guy who their only way to make it is to win their way in.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you got rid of automatic qualifiers, most of these little guys are out because Michigan State ain't finna go play Montana State in Montana. Like they're not finna do that.
Right.
Like
right.
Duke's not finna play Grambling.
Not finna do that.
Ain't gonna be able to do it, bro. So until these massive school and these massive programs start playing these schools that you never heard of on their home court, I don't want to hear from these dudes because that's the reason you have automatic bids. It's because y'all too scared to play these folks. Like UCLA, scared to play San Diego State. Even now, scared to play them. Schedule some games. Arizona, Kansas, schedule some games against San Diego State.
Kansas does.
Respect to Kansas.
I was looking at Duquesne's. I know they're in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking on BYU. You tell me if this is a real school. Where is it at? I just saw it. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? I just lost it. They played a school called Clearly University this year.
Come on, man.
Yeah. They did.
How many did they win by?
50.
See that
they played a school Rider. Yeah, these are real schools that Duquesne played this year. They played a school. I don't know if this is a junior college, but probably not. Cleveland State. They play a school.
Cleveland State's a real school.
St. Peter's.
That could be anything.
Yeah.
That literally could be anything.
Is Chicago State a real school? That sounds like
No.
See, that sounds like some ESPN 30 for 30 school too, right there.
When you said Cleveland State, that's why I was like, yeah, it's a real school because Chicago State's a real school. I'm aware they play each other.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, but just like these are the these schools are in. Duquesne is in, and these that's their schedule. They didn't go to Gonzaga. They didn't earn it. Just kidding. No. We'll see what happens. All right, Browner. We're out of here.
Let's go.
Talk to everybody tomorrow. See if the Padres win. You're going to wake up at 3? You're going to record it.
Same process, baby. I'm recording that thing. I'll see y'all in the morning.
We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.